Welcome back to React Native Radio Podcast. Brought to you by the Giraffical Interchange Format. Giraffical Interchange Format, the best way to avoid work. Episode 230, We React to News.
I made a mistake, Robin.
Okay, you can elaborate? What did you do?
Well, I make lots of mistakes, so I can understand why you'd want me to elaborate. It's very believable. I tweeted, well, first off, that sounds like a mistake, just straight off, I tweeted, should I write an article, Flutter is better than React Native in all the ways that don't matter? And it was kind of like a throwaway joke. I've said this many times on the podcast.
It's like you've said that on the podcast, so.
Yeah, I've said it plenty of places.
It's your little quip, it's your quippy.
Yeah, I know. It just gets people going. I love it. It's kind of clickbaity. Right now, there's almost 600 likes on it, and people are telling me I need...
600?
600.
It was at like 150 when I saw it yesterday.
I know. So I guess that means I have to write it.
You have to do it. I mean, you just said yourself it's clickbaity, so...
It's so clickbaity. I'm working on it. By the time this comes out, it's probably going to be out. So maybe we can link to it or you can search for it. Flutter is better than React Native in all the ways that don't matter.
Well, now you'll actually have all of the information to back up that claim because you'll have to do the research to write the blog post.
Are you saying that I'm making that claim without information?
Maybe just like... casual information, and now you'll have
casual information.
You'll have the real concrete, the good stuff.
I actually disagree. The reason I disagree is because yes, it's true that I don't have all the information in terms of like really nitty gritty technical details. That is true. You are right about that. But those aren't the things that matter.
There you go.
So you'll have to wait for the article to come out, but yeah, I'll probably be running it by you, Robin, and others. You know what? The article's probably out, so you know, like by now, so people can just
we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Are you going to build a Flutter app for research purposes?
No, because again, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's such an app, but it's true. The reasons that React Native are better than Flutter really don't have a lot to do with the technical stuff. There are some technical reasons that Flutter is better, but really it has to do with, I'm going to give it away. You can go read the article. It's way more nuanced than this, people. It's way more nuanced than this.
Please go read
the article.
Go read it.
Yes, this is not, don't quote me on Twitter and say this guy is, you know, I don't know. Anyway, the reasons are really more business oriented. And it's, can you hire Dart developers right now who have not done Flutter to go do Flutter?
Probably not.
Not really. Can you hire React and JavaScript developers to go do React Native? Like, all over.
Tomorrow.
Like they're everywhere. Now, it's hard to hire anywhere, but it's just, I'm talking relatively speaking. That's one. Another is, can you share code between your web team and your mobile team?
I don't know. Can you?
With Flutter, you're probably not using Flutter on the web. I know you can. But you're probably not.
I was like, you're just inviting the well actuallys to say, yes, there actually is a Flutter for web.
Yeah. And who uses it?
I can't name anybody.
Exactly. This is unnecessarily aggressive. My blog article, and I go into more things too, but my blog article explains in a much more
Flutter fans, please don't send us tone. Hate mail.
Oh, you can send it to me. My email is robin@infinite.red.
Good thing I have filters on and I don't check my email very often.
You don't, actually.
That's what Slack is for.
Okay, let's get started. I'm Jamin, your host and, contrary to all evidence, friendly CTO of Infinite Red. I am joined by my admirable co-host. That is not a word that we've used yet. Robin Heinz.
I seriously think we need to make a database of the words so that I can check every time, make sure
I just search it in Google Drive. It pops up if, like, I see in Google Drive, like, in our show notes, it pops up if I've ever used it.
Work harder, not smarter.
Or something like that.
I mean, no. Work smarter, not harder.
This is why you're admirable. Mazen is not here today. He is on baby watch. That doesn't mean he's watching a baby. He's watching for a baby to appear.
Well, by the time this comes out, he probably will be watching a baby.
That's true. That is actually very true. He's probably on baby watch right now as he's listening to this. A different type of baby watch.
Hi, Mazen. Hi, Mazen's baby.
Yeah, Mazen Jr. Actually, is it a boy or a girl? I actually don't know. We're not supposed to reveal that, probably, on the podcast.
We'll let him. We'll let him.
I don't actually know. So, Robin is a senior software engineer at Infinite Red, is located in Portland, Oregon, and specializes in React Native. This episode is sponsored by Infinite Red. Infinite Red is a premier React Native design and development agency. We don't do Flutter. Located fully remote in the US and Canada. If you're looking for React Native expertise, not Flutter, for your next React Native project, not Flutter, hit us up. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/react-native. See, this is why you shouldn't skip the sponsored by. You can learn more on our website, infinite.red/flutter, React Native. And don't forget to mention that you heard about us through the React Native Radio podcast. Okay,
now we really need to add a page to our website.
/flutter.
/flutter.
Yeah,
that okay. Just tells you to use React Native.
I'm going to make a note of that. We are hiring. If you are a React Native developer, not a Flutter developer, located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red. Let's see how far I can push this joke before people get really annoyed. I bet they already are. All right. The topic today is We React to News, where we discuss the latest news in the React Native community and get the reactions from our hosts, which of course is just me and Robin today.
Not the Flutter community.
Native news. Yeah, we don't really care about the Flutter community's reactions. Before we start, I should mention that I get a lot of my React Native news from Sebastian Lorber. So go sign up for his newsletter, This Week in React. This is not a paid endorsement. I just really like his newsletter. He's a great guy, a friend of Infinite Red. So go search for This Week in React, Sebastian Lorber. Fantastic stuff. He also posts his newsletters in our community, community.infinite.red, so you can go check that out. That is about React as well, so if you just want React Native news, go to our very own reactnativenewsletter.com. Over 15,000 subscribers. Actually, I think it's just under 15,000 subscribers. I don't know why I wrote over. It's just under. It's like 14,600 or something. And John Major, who is a co-host on the program sometimes, he's a very busy guy, so not always on here. He has been doing a great job with it, so go check that out. Derek Greenberg, who is our guest coordinator on the program, is also helping with that, and he's doing a great job.
Yeah, he's been making videos, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, go check those out. They're really cool. So the first three things on our list are all about the new architecture.
Now, Jamin, what's the new? What do you mean by the new architecture?
Thanks for queuing me up. Go to React Native Radio episode 222 with Kevin Gozali from the Facebook React Native core team, and go listen to that if you haven't yet. It's fantastic, and he does a good job of explaining what the new architecture is and sort of like how they're rolling it out, which leads us to the first thing, which is the React Native 0.68 pre-release. We're going to have a whole episode about 0.68, so we're not going to go deep into it right now, but what's important to know about this pre-release?
I couldn't tell you. Don't put that in.
Todd's going to. What you're supposed to say is you can now enable the new architecture with a flag.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. You can now enable the new architecture with a flag?
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
Now, is that the whole new architecture or just like certain pieces of it?
I guess what's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's in there right now? Obviously, there's more coming, but a fair amount of it's ready. Like it's in there. It's ready to be used. It's not documented super well, but there will be things coming for documentation for sure. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff happening with the core group that, I don't know how much I'm supposed to say, but like in the release group meetings, we've been talking a lot about what third party libraries are working well with the new architecture and which ones still need work on them. For example, React Native Screens has a certain thing with it that needs to be fixed, but it is supporting Fabric, which is, of course, one piece of the new architecture. So, yeah, work is happening. And, of course, now it is available for pre-release. Go check it out, especially if you don't have, some super mission-critical thing. Go in there, enable it, see what crashes, see what happens.
I've heard that the core team is really trying to get more people testing the nightly releases to sort of suss out any bugs before the releases go live. So, if you have the capacity, bandwidth to do that, maybe think about installing some nightly releases and filing some bugs.
If you have the fortitude.
The fortitude.
The sisu, to use a Finnish word. That is that's definitely something. And we're going to probably work with them to test Ignite on nightlies as well. So that's a whole thing that Gant Laborde and I are working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like an exciting inflection point for the React Native community as a whole to go to the new architecture. And hopefully from here on out, we have... I hate to bring this up again, but it is actually something that was a legitimate criticism of React Native versus Flutter, which was the bridge.
Yeah.
And this addresses that. So kind of a big deal. Our second thing also has to do with the new architecture, and it is a work group that's been established, which is...
React Native New Architecture.
Yeah, React Native New Architecture under the ReactWG
working group.
Yeah, and that's on GitHub, and the about just says work group for the new React Native architecture. It's a discussion-only repository to coordinate and support the rollout of the new React Native New Architecture. You can access the working group via the Discussions tab, and it's a space where the community can meet and discuss the new architecture. Fabric, Renderer, and the Turbo Module System, and also CodeGen, which they don't mention here, but is part of that as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on. There's announcements, deep diving, documentation, libraries, Q&A, releases. Robin, you're a part of that actually, right?
Yeah, just got an invitation a couple days ago. It is technically a closed group by default, but it's open to anybody. You just have to fill out a form and they'll review it and admit you.
But only if you're as cool as Robin, because they haven't accepted me yet.
Yeah, I don't know what their criteria is. I think it's just to weed out like intent.
Yes, I would. Yeah. And I think there's some value in that for sure. I have plenty on my plate with being involved with releases and things like that. But yeah, this is it's a fantastic new, and this is actually one of the coolest things about what the React Native Core team is doing. They're involving the community a lot more intensely with this rollout. And do go listen to React Native Radio 222, because Kevin talks more about that.
I should actually go listen to that myself. I don't think I was here for that.
Oh man, it's great, Robin. Yeah, it was fantastic. The only thing it was missing was you.
Oh.
But that's okay. We did as well as we could. React Native Screens, that's our third thing here. It supports Fabric. Software Mansion's been doing some fantastic work over there. And they are introducing Fabric to React Native Screens. And this is something that they do have a blog article up about that on the Software Mansion blog. And it allows you to flip the switch and turn on Fabric and allows you to then play around with React Native Screens and Fabric. Why is React Native Screens using Fabric? Why is that an important thing, Robin?
Because React Native Screens interfaces with the native navigation system.
Exactly. I didn't prep you for that at all. I just threw you under the bus and you totally fielded it well. That was great. That's exactly right. It's React Native Screens is one of my favorite libraries out there. And I love the fact that it interfaces with the native side of things and allows you to write native navigation using JavaScript.
Gives you a more native feel.
Yeah.
So that you said that is a flag. It's not. So yes. You only turn on Fabric if you're using Fabric in React Native.
If you want to use it. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Beyond the new architecture now and get reactions about TypeScript.
Yeah, TypeScript 4.6.
What are your reactions to the new release of 4.6?
I probably wouldn't have known about it if I wasn't looking for news. But reading through the change, like...
Kind of under the radar.
Yeah. Well, at this point, TypeScript is so established that mm-hmm. the changes are really very incremental and a lot of times very niche.
Mm-hmm.
But just reading through the changelog, there's some cool stuff. You can call code before you call super in a class constructor, as long as it doesn't refer to this.
Yeah.
So they're getting a little bit less strict.
Which makes sense, because sometimes you can call stuff that doesn't... like accessing this, the word this, the keyword this, or the whatever, before super in a constructor is a problem, because the constructor needs to set some things up using super. Right.
But previously, in order to prevent that, they just blanket prevented you from running anything before running super. Because I think that's the way JavaScript does it. And so TypeScript did the same. But now they're a little bit more clever about it. So they'll check to make sure you're not actually referencing this. And if you're not, then cool, you can run whatever you want.
I can imagine this would be useful for debugging, like if you run a console log that doesn't reference this and you need to run it, you know.
But the real question is, who's still using classes. I guess people who don't use React.
Agree. I agree. Actually, there are probably quite a few people in the audience who are like, hey, I'm still using class components.
I forget there's people that write JavaScript and TypeScript that aren't doing React and React Native.
I feel like JavaScript classes were kind of a mistake, but I understand why they added them. It was like everybody wanted that. I may have wanted it back in the day. I don't know.
Wait. Are you saying they were not original to the language?
No, they weren't. So JavaScript, when it first came out, was more, and for quite some time, was more, it was like prototypical inheritance was the way that it was kind of like designed. It was not designed with class hierarchy inheritance. And it still works that way under the hood. Like classes are not like your classical classes. They are a just sort of like a sugar on top of the prototypical inheritance that JavaScript uses. They look kind of familiar, but if you really think about how they work, they're not the same as you know, like Ruby or Python or something like that.
It's the illusion of a class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it still uses the prototypes under the hood. I still think that like one of JavaScript's like strengths is that you can just kind of like blast out this object literal and then hang things off of it and, you know, sort of do whatever you want with it. And TypeScript really embraces that because you can apply a type or an interface to any object. Doesn't have to be defined as a class. Huh. But inheritance is something that I really avoid as much as possible anyway. These days, it's more like compose things as much as possible. And JavaScript was very much built that way from the beginning.
Yeah. It's funny because I didn't learn JavaScript until I was learning React Native. And so I've never really used JavaScript outside of the React ecosystem.
You literally start with like ES 2015. Yeah. Like that was your initial JavaScript.
Yeah. So my context for what JavaScript was originally is minimal.
Do we have time for like an old timey story?
Absolutely. We have time.
My first real time using JavaScript, I don't know the year, but it was a long time ago, probably early 2000s. And there's some gray beards in the audience who are like, oh, you rookie, you know, but that's, you know, I was doing other stuff before then. And I was building a website and this was just for like a friend, and he wanted a drop-down menu, you know, where you hover over the menu. These used to be really popular, but they're much less popular now. Where you hover over a menu and it drops down a, you know, a list of things to do.
Just a hover, not a click, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You couldn't do that with CSS back in those days. You just couldn't do that. Like there wasn't a way to do that. So you had to use JavaScript. So I just searched and I found something probably on either Stack Overflow or probably before Stack Overflow. It was probably Experts Exchange or one of those other like pre-Stack Overflow, proto-Stack Overflows back in the day. And I copied and pasted a bunch of code into my website.
Don't do this.
And I just edited a couple of things. And it worked. It honestly worked.
They literally have warnings in the JavaScript console now on like big websites. Like if you go to Facebook and you open the console, it's like, don't paste stuff here.
Yeah. That's true. So like this was just naive, and it was some sort of a very popular dropdown, which was horribly written. Like when I looked at it as a programmer, even back then, I was like, this doesn't seem right, but I've never done this language. So maybe it is. Now looking back, I'm like, wow, that was terrible. But, I managed to make that happen. And it was like very Java-esque written JavaScript. So yeah, that's the first time I used JavaScript, and I had no idea what it was doing. I just dropped it in and went with it.
What year was that?
I think it was early 2000. I don't remember exactly. It would have been sometime back then.
Now, see, I started coding in 2014 and I was doing Ruby.
2014. I started in 1992, I think, something like that. But it was QBasic and I didn't really get beyond QBasic for a long time. Anyway, we are way far afield here. Editors may have to cut some of that out.
Or not, you know?
It's okay.
It's just, it's a casual episode.
Kind of is.
So let's see. Further down in the TypeScript, in the new TypeScript release, a control flow analysis for destructured discriminated unions. So I think this is around inferred types.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have I don't know. It's going to be hard to explain this.
This is one of those edge cases you're talking about. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, this is not something you generally run into. I just noticed that there were a lot of control flow things, mm-hmm. not just in this release, but in the previous one as well. They must be really working on that.
Right. It's sort of like gates as you're working where it's like, hey, I recognize that if the value of this property is this, then this other property has to be this just based on what the data looks like.
It kind of reminds me of Sudoku.
Yeah.
You've played Sudoku.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, you're like, if this is over here, then this other one must be something else, you know?
It's funny you brought up Sudoku because I just this week started playing a new iPhone game called Nonogram.
Okay.
Which reminds me a lot of Sudoku.
Okay.
It's similar. It's more like visual, but it's a lot of that sort of deduction. Like, okay, well, if this is here, then that means this has mm-hmm. to be at least covering this much. Like, it's, yeah, very, very.
Do you think that if you are attracted to those types of games, that something like TypeScript is also kind of hits those same, I don't know,
yeah,
like endorphins or something?
I think probably.
Dopamine?
Get your dopamine where you can.
Yeah.
Use TypeScript.
There's also some recursion depth checks around generics and properties. They improve that. If you know what that means, then you'll be excited. If you don't, then whatever. JS doc improvements. I'm actually kind of excited about that. And everybody's like, who uses JS doc? But I was actually building, I'm still building a role-playing game with my brothers. And since they're not TypeScript experts, I thought, well, I'll just write it in JavaScript. We don't even have like a package or a compiler, any of that. There's no build pipeline whatsoever. We literally just run the code that we write, which is weird these days. and I'm using JS doc to provide types. And it's actually pretty cool. I actually like JS doc a lot. It's pretty cool.
So JS doc is part of TypeScript?
TypeScript understands JS doc and will then type check against it.
Oh, okay. So I gotcha. I was like, why wouldn't they call it TS doc? But it is.
Right.
It's a JavaScript thing, and TypeScript is smart about reading it.
Yeah. It's a .js. It's a .js file. It's not .ts. But then you can turn on TypeScript saying check or allow JS. And then it'll go in there and it'll look through and there are these comments and it'll be like, this, you know, variable is a string, you know, at type string. And then it will actually then enforce that that's a string and warn, just like TypeScript. But there's actually some things that JS doc does that TypeScript can't and will never be able to do, according to one of the core members I talked to.
Didn't you run across something like that just recently?
I did. Yeah. So let me try to explain it really quickly. This is just really another aside in an episode full of asides. I guess it is. We're reacting, right? This is my reaction.
Our genuine reaction.
So let's say that you create an object literal, you know, with the curlies, right? And you're just like const jamin equals curly. And then maybe you have like a name, which is a string, and you have an age, which is an integer or a number, I guess. And maybe you have something else that's like children. And then might be an array. And then in the array, then you would want maybe additional people, you know, like or some data, right? Well, how do you type just one property of that? Like you could literally write that out and have TypeScript infer what the types are, which is great. But what if you want to enforce that age is always a number? Not just infer it.
But just age.
Yeah, just age. Right.
Not name. You want it to infer that name is a string, but
exactly. Like infer whatever name is.
Assert that age is a number and let it infer the rest. You can't do that in TypeScript.
Mm-hmm. And if you say as number, then that coerces, which is not quite what you want.
Right, because you lose your type checking because it's just
right.
saying, whatever I give you for this, it's a number.
Pretend
you,
like it's
you
a
can,
number.
You can just don't look. It's a number, I swear.
It's a number, I swear. Exactly. Which will then type the object properly, but then you're not actually checking that what you pass in.
Right. You could put a string in there and then TypeScript would still be happy.
Exactly. As number. So JS doc lets you just put the type right above the property and it will enforce that it's a number and infer that it's a number at the same time. Like it will actually then say, this is a number. So that is something that TypeScript doesn't do, which came in really handy when we were creating this game because I didn't want to have to type every object out. Sometimes I just want to infer what they are and move on, you know, and that's because then I could do like type character equals type of, you know, my character. Type of is really nice for that.
That's good to know. I think I mostly have used JSDoc for just literally documenting, like, this is what this component does, and these are the props that you can pass.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, even if allow.js isn't on now with the newest version of TypeScript, you can get suggestions and checks now. So that's kind of cool, just in your editor. So that's cool. Plenty more in the announcement. Go check that out. We'll put it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Flipper.
Flipper.
Flipper will be available. Flipper. We need to do a whole episode on Flipper, by the way.
We should. I've just started really using Flipper more.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'd be interesting to talk about what all it can do.
You were doing some performance stuff.
Yeah. Looking at some flame graphs, which will explain what a flame graph is in a future episode of React Native Radio.
Stay tuned. It will be available for web and Node.js apps now, not just for mobile apps.
Oh, nice.
So they announced that last month. That's very cool. Any reactions to that?
So previously you could only use like React DevTools or similar, and now you have the entirety of Flipper and its suite of plugins and tools.
Yeah, that's great. I wonder if web developers will use this or if it's more like React Native developers who just don't want to switch tools.
I would guess more of the latter. I think web developers are pretty set up with tools already. But this is a nice, like, it lets, if especially since you're seeing a lot more cross-platform, monorepo, like web and native type of projects that start with React Native developers building web rather than the other way around. This is a way for React Native developers to keep using their preferred tools.
Speaking of monorepos, thanks for that. That brings us to our next one.
Set you right, put you right up on a pedestal there. Set you right up.
Exactly. I can just up on a T, I can hit it. Ignite 7.9 and 7.10, which is out now, but that's a smaller release. 7.9 specifically supports PNPM and monorepos because now it supports symlinks as long as you don't use Expo. If you use Expo, then sorry, you're on your own. But if you are using Ignite directly without passing in the dash dash Expo flag, it will automatically come with symlink support, which allows you to use PNPM instead of Yarn because that uses symlinks much faster than Yarn. And I kind of like it, but also it's not as standard. So you may run into some edge cases and stuff. But we actually did quite a bit of work to make Ignite work with that. And that also is very helpful if you're doing a monorepo like NX or Lerna or any of those other options out there. I have publicly been kind of anti.
I wish it had been around. I wish it had been around when we were building a monorepo and were fighting against Metro.
Exactly. Now, some of this actually came, we actually used one of the tools from RNX kit, which we just talked about in React Native Radio 227 with Tommy Nguyen and Adam Foxman, better React Native tooling. They're working on RNX kit, and part of that is the symlink support. So check out RNR 227 to hear more about that. But Ignite 7.9 now has support for symlinks and more coming as well. But that's kind of the big one right now.
Fun fact, at least three of the most recent Ignite releases are courtesy of yours truly and not in a good way. I kept having to fix.
You should have just stopped there. You should have just taken credit.
I should have. I kept having to fix stuff that I broke. So
that's how I inflate my commit count as well. Revert. It was totally an understandable problem. I've done it many times myself. So the last thing we have here is called glass morphism. What's that, Rutman?
So you want the wrong answers only?
Sure.
Because it sounds like, I don't know, it's, no, never mind. I don't have anything. I thought there was going to be something funny there. This just didn't materialize.
There has to be.
It sounds like transfiguration. It's like, like what wizards learn how to do in order to like make glass change shape. I don't know.
You're right. Yeah, there is something there. I don't know what. I'm not smart enough to figure it. Gant's going to be, he's going to be listening to this episode and he'll have some hilarious joke in his mind. So everybody in the audience, just imagine Gant making a funny joke and laugh, and then we'll move on.
Sounds good.
But really, what is glass morphism? What are we talking about here?
As far as I know, it's a cool little like UI style that looks like a pane of like frosted glass moving over top of something. Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And that's React Native Skia.
Right. React Native Skia is library by Shopify, right? Mm-hmm. And it implements the Skia graphics library, which I didn't know a ton about until reading up for this. Mm-hmm. But it powers a lot. It's the graphics engine behind Chrome, Chrome OS, Flutter. Relevant. Flutter, Firefox. So it's a pretty big deal.
It's a very cool library. There's a lot of power there.
You can now create a glass morphism in React Native using React Native Skia.
We're definitely going to be doing an episode about React Native Skia. Maybe we'll have some of the maintainers on or something like that and talk more about it and see what's going on there. I do also have some plans on React Native Live. Little shout out for React Native Live. Go to rn.live, which is my Twitch stream.
It's very fun.
Go check that out because I am going to also have one of the maintainers on there as well in one of these days. So go check that out.
I love hanging out, listening and watching React Native Live. I'll put it on in the background.
I appreciate that.
I don't always chat. Enter the chat. Sometimes I do. Mm-hmm. If I'm working on something else, I sometimes don't. But I just like to have it on because it's, I don't know, it's just watching you do open source a lot or talking to somebody. It's casual. It's not.
Yeah. It's super casual. Yeah, my philosophy there is if I have to prepare too much for it, then it's too much work and I'm not going to do it.
Well, you're doing it twice a week. You can't like be giving
exactly
conference talk twice a week.
It's like 3 hours twice a week, 6 hours, and I'm not going to prep for that. Like the prep is in the stream.
Literally, so, that's part of this. Like that's part of the stream.
It's part of the stream.
That's the whole point.
What are we talking about? How do I get to? Okay, you know, it's a lot of that, but it's fun. I love it. It's so much fun. All right. Well, you know what? This meandering episode, of course, brought to you by Infinite Red. And if you'd like to nerd out more about React Native, check out, of course, my Twitch stream. You can also go to youtube.infinite.red and see the same stream. You can join our Slack community.infinite.red. We have almost 2,000, I think it's 1992 or something like that, React Native developers in the React Native channel in there, plus a lot more in other channels, but it's primarily a React Native community. Where can people find you to complain about your take on Flutter, Robin?
I will be staying far away from Flutter, but you can find me on Twitter at Robin_Hines.
And you can find me at Jamin Holmgren. You can find our Twitter for the show at React Native RDIO. As always, thanks to our producer and editor, Todd Werther, our assistant editor and episode release coordinator, Jed Bartoski, our social media coordinator, Missy Warren, our designer, Justin Husky, and our guest coordinator, Derek Greenberg. All those people work at Infinite Red and have other jobs, by the way. They're taking time out of their busy days to produce this episode, and we really, really appreciate it. Thanks to our sponsor, Infinite Red. Check us out at infinite.red/react-native. Thanks to you listening today. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to send this to a friend who loves Flutter or doesn't. Either way, this isn't even about Flutter. I don't know why I'm saying that. Reminder that Infinite Red is hiring React Native engineers. If you're a senior level React Native engineer located in the US or Canada, go to careers.infinite.red. We'll see you all next time.